This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more. Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Welcome back to Talk Talk Nation. I'm your host, Joe Weber, and this week we got to sit down with Lucky Costa. He talked about his time over at Motor Trend, doing shows like Overhaulin' and Hot Rod Garage, his friendship with Tony Angelo, and just all the crazy shit that he's done in his life. It's a lot of stuff. We had a lot of laughs. It was a really fun conversation, and I'm really excited for you to hear it. So without further ado, here's our chat. Welcome back to Talk Talk Nation. I'm your host, Joe Weber, and sitting with me right now is a very special guest. You may know him from Motor Trend or his YouTube channel, Lucky's Garage Show. I'm sitting with Lucky Costa. Thank you, Lucky, for having us at your garage.
Happy to do it.
Turns out we are almost neighbors.
Yeah, I think you're just north of me, right?
Yeah, we are a couple neighborhoods apart, and you just threatened me saying that you could throw a grenade.
I could launch it.
Launch a grenade at our office.
Yeah. That was just small talk.
Yeah. So if this podcast goes poorly, you will know by my obituary.
Right.
Lucky, thank you so much for being here. I can speak from basically everyone at Donut's point of view by saying you are very influential to the startup of Donut and people getting into cars.
So I appreciate that.
Where do we start, man?
I don't know if I influenced you guys to do this. I may have to apologize later. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I do appreciate it.
You're telling me earlier that you grew up in the South Bay, and for anyone that doesn't live in California, that is like the Long Beach area, El Segundo. This area is where a lot of car culture flourished and kind of evolved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because Hollywood's just over the hill. LAX is right here. We're just south of all that. So it was very common when I was growing up to go to Hollywood. And I won't say cause trouble.
Sure.
But we weren't up there getting autographs, let's put it that way.
So I think we're beyond the statute of limitations right now.
Yeah, should be. Should be. Yeah.
But like Lions Drag Strip was down here.
Yeah, that was down south. Yeah.
Yeah. They've always had, races down at the Port of Long
Beach.
I'm
not quite that old. I'm sure Lions was around when I was younger. I never went to it, but I like the whole, I used to go to Terminal Island, which was supposed to be built on the old Lions Drag Race until it was shut down. And all my friends were into that stuff. I was born in Seattle, lived everywhere. I've seen pictures of me living in Puerto Rico and in Florida and in Oklahoma and in Texas, but I don't have a lot of memories of any of that. All my memories are South Bay. So I claim South Bay for sure.
Cool. What was it about Hollywood that made you want to go up there? Is that just where everyone can be?
I don't want to go to Hollywood for sure, but no, the cruising spot was Hollywood. You go up there and get in some trouble. Sunset Boulevard, we would just take the 405 all the way to Sunset.
Yeah.
And then barrel run, just bonsai down Sunset and end up on Hollywood Boulevard cruising.
Did that ever get you in trouble?
Oh yeah, we got in plenty of trouble. So. But I'll say some of the stuff that has scarred me the most would be, when I say scarred, I mean what influenced me.
Sure.
But I can't say if it's, I'm still undecided whether it's positive or negative influence.
Well, any trauma can help evolve someone.
Exactly. Yeah. So seeing a bonsai station wagon like slammed racing around corners and realizing that's like an old grocery getter. How is it leaving everybody in the turns and then rolling up on it and it just being an old, dirty, rusty station wagon with a giant engine? I was like, that's some of the coolest shit I ever saw.
Yeah.
And I'm riding my BMX bike to continuation school thinking, man, I'm going to get me a station wagon.
This is like before you even had a driver's license.
Yeah, no driver's license. So, I mean, just a recap of my driving history and I'll show you a stack. I used to collect tickets like it was lollipops. And I have a stack in there. You'll just say, is this even legal? So I got in so much trouble from the time that I took driver's ed in high school to when they mail you your temporary.
That's like
they stopped.
2 weeks.
They stopped. I didn't see my license until I was 28.
What?
They suspended and revoked it.
Wait, so you took the test. You passed the test. In the time that they took to
traffic
mail
school,
it to
you? Yeah, driving class yeah. in school with the other kids in a little car.
That couldn't have been more than a week.
No, it's like 30 days or something before you get your
permit. So in 30 days, you racked up more points on your license?
I got driving without a driver. I thought I was a grown-ass man. So yeah. I'm now driving with my friends. And I get pulled over. I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, you don't even have a permit. I took the class. Yeah, just here's a ticket. Here's another ticket. Jacked up, a ticket, lowered, ticket, exhaust. You'll see stacks of tickets. So either way, my license was suspended and revoked from 16 and a half till I want to say. Actually, I personally got in so much trouble that I didn't have the opportunity. The first time I saw my driver's license was I was being booked in like camp, like a juvenile detention camp. And they had a picture of, I'm just like, is that me? Is that a picture of me on a light? Like, yeah, this is your idea. Can I get a cop? Like, no, you can't have a cop. Never saw it. I was quite the juvenile delinquent when I was younger.
Oh, man. You were telling me that you were locked up from 14 to 18?
Yeah, I left home when I was 14, and I got out of CYA, California Youth Authority, which is, they call it prison for kids, but it's not. I mean, you wake up, you go to school in a camp setting, and you just try not to get into a fight and just.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a Gridiron Gang with The Rock?
Yeah.
I was in that camp.
Oh, okay.
So
that sounds fun then.
There's a good reference right there.
Yeah.
So
especially
way.
If Rock is the Rock is your Rock was detention
not,
officer.
Yeah, The Rock was not the detention officer for sure. So
yeah. you were locked up. What was the like?
So that's my adolescence. So yeah. I missed out on a bunch of stuff. So I got a lot of stuff squeezed in really quick. And then I got out of it, which actually my mother had the opportunity to come pick me up at any time because I was not like a criminal offender.
Sure.
I was just they called it a 601, a non-criminal juvenile delinquent. And she's like, well, no, he's not going to listen to me. You send him home. He's just going to do whatever he wants. He's going to end up getting in more trouble. He's going to end up, this is going to be his career, you know, yeah. going to court. And so they left me in there until I decided that until she decided, like, are you going to come home and pay attention, cut your hair and go to school? I was like, yeah, mom, let's do it.
But so, you're 18 at that point?
Almost 18 years old, just shy of 18 years old.
So once you get out, what's your first move? What do you do?
My mom made me get a haircut because it was really long. So I was a grown man being told to cut my hair. So yeah. I cut my hair and got a job at the tea house as a busboy. They will not hire me back. And then I got a job at a gas station pumping gas. I didn't have to pump gas. All I had to do was count the numbers on the pump to determine how many gallons sold every day.
And relay that?
Couldn't do it. Left high school. So then I got a job at go-kart track.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, go-kart. Go-kart World. It used to be on PCH. Now it's right off the 110 freeway. Worked there.
Oh, still around?
Still around, yeah.
Cool.
So, and then...
Did you learn how to work on little engines?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I sure did. So I don't know if I would make a living doing it, but I had a lot of fun. Then we started just detailing houses, cleaning up houses and cleaning out garages. And that's how we got the first car. Me and my buddy got a 63 Nova for free if we cleaned out their garage.
That's cool.
Six cylinder, made it run, drove it. Registration, insurance, what? No. Tires? Yeah, put air in that one every day. So we drove that one for a while and then started collecting tickets again. So that's how I got out at an early age and had gotten in so much trouble, they didn't send me my license. And then when they were considering sending me my license, I was back into collecting tickets again.
Oh, man.
So, and then it was like, see how fast we can go. And then I saw lowered station wagons. And yeah, it was a little bit irresponsible there for a while.
But it sounds like you had a lot of fun, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And none of it was ever like malicious criminal sure. crap. You know, it was just, you know, kids out acting a fool.
Yeah. So. I feel like that's like before your judgment center and your frontal lobe fully evolves, like you're just like doing stuff.
Fearless.
You
know? Yeah.
You're living
yeah.
in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I figured, you know what? I got in trouble really early. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Now I'm an adult. I'm going to be a little more responsible, but I've never been to like jail. You know, I'm not a convict. I've never been convicted of anything crazy other yeah. than just driving irresponsibly. So, yeah, that's how that went. I remember one time I was driving, this has just been out maybe a year, and I was in Hermosa Beach, and I had some crazy car and four-wheel drive, and steering wheel was on the right-hand side, just some crap I built from just a bunch of junk. It was a...
You moved the steering wheel over?
It was a right-hand drive thing called a Thames or a Hillman.
Yeah.
And I put it on a Jeep chassis and just sort of, you know, it wasn't... Definitely was not a quality build, but it was neat because it was a little four-cylinder Jeep motor, military Jeep, like an Army Jeep, and had oversized tires, and those things got real low gears, so you could put it in first gear and rev it up and dump the clutch. It didn't make any horsepower, but it made a lot of torque, and it would do a wheelie.
What?
And then you slam on the brake, and you put it in reverse, and you rev it up, and it would do a backwards
wheelie. That's insane.
Well, it was fun until the spider gears and the differentials break because the tires are so big. But I pulled up in front of Mickey's Liquor, and anybody from the South Bay, they're going to go, oh, Mickey's Liquor, I love that place. I pulled up in front of Mickey's Liquor, and an officer pulled up, and some back and forth ensued, and nothing mean. He's like, listen, I'm on my motorcycle. Do you know where the Hermosa Beach Police Department is? I'm all, yes, I do. He goes, great, I'm going to follow you up there, pull right behind the police department and park in a parking space. He goes, don't try to run. I go, it's an Army Jeep. It's not gonna run. It's, you know, it's not fast. So I drove up there. I got out. He turned me around and put handcuffs on me. I go, did I just drive myself to jail? He's like, yes, you did. I was like, oh man. So he walks me in and asks me my name. And I gave him a name for sure. And he took the handcuffs off and wrote me a ticket and said, have that vehicle towed out of their parking lot or he'll have it impounded and they'll let me catch him driving it again.
And they're still looking for that name.
Man, I'll tell you right now. Statute of limitations? Absolutely. But anyway, so yeah, growing up, I was not the most responsible guy.
Do you remember the first time that you were like, this is cool. Like as a kid, seeing a car.
I'll tell two quick ones, and they both involve Ford Galaxies. So the very first car I ever purchased was saving my lunch money and buying it from what would now be a clucker or a crackhead. But back then, it was just some dude who had a car that lived in an apartment complex. And he told me for $50, he would sell me a 63 Galaxy car that he had, Ford Galaxy. And I was like, okay. And I had like $30 saved up. And me and my friends, we all pitched in and came up with like $45 or $40 and gave it to him. He gave us the keys to the car.
So for under $100, you got Ford Galaxy.
Yeah. But mind you, I think we were 13 or 14 years old at the time. So we had no business with the car at all. And so me and my friends would cruise the thing around. We would never leave the neighborhood, which was right here in Torrance. And we would run out of gas and then get our bicycles out of the trunk and go with our gas cans, act like we're mowing lawns and get a couple gallons of gas and put it back in and drive it till it died again. So that is the first car I ever purchased. And the first time I ever worked on cars was the fact that I did not give the guy the $10 I owed him. So he took the spark plug wires.
Oh, man.
So I scraped up to $10. We gave him the money. He gave us the wires. Now we have to figure out what these wires do. Never open the hood of a car.
That's kind of a fun project, though.
Be fun if it was like planned and you were doing it in your home garage, but we're doing this on the side of the street trying not to catch a case. So either way, I got it running. And also that same car is the first car I ever went 100 miles an hour in. It's the first engine I ever blew up and the first car I ever abandoned in a Jimco parking lot.
Did that all happen in the same?
Probably within 2 weeks. Never saw the car again.
Yeah.
So, and then I started riding my bicycle to school. And I remember seeing a lowered station wagon pull up to a intersection on Crenshaw Boulevard and just take off. Light turned green. It just rolled. Everybody else is slowing down for the turn. This little lowered wagon was accelerating into it, and it was slammed. And back then, it was not slammed cars. Race cars were lowered cars. Everything else was different. And so I rode my bike down Crenshaw Boulevard, and then I see it at a race shop just slammed. And that's the coolest grandma car.
That was like a light bulb moment.
Yeah, exactly. So I told that story to the guys at Hot Rod Garage, Alex Taylor specifically. And they got together and found not the car, but a very close replica of the car. And bought it, and then we built it on the show, and then I bought it from the company, and it's sitting right there.
That's very fun. And you were controlling the hydraulics with your phone.
Oh, yeah. So Ridetech makes a... air ride control that all works Bluetooth from
very
my phone.
Cool. So what's it powered by right now?
That has a Coyote motor and a 6-speed gear start transmission in it.
Very cool. And the perfect
drum brakes because I am still not responsible. So
you are, I mean, everyone knows this already, but you are a power fiend. You put superchargers on everything.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely a big fan of Boost for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of my friends make way more power than me, and I don't use any of the power that I have appropriately. Like if I set up my truck correctly, it would probably hook up and handle great. But for now, it does awesome burnouts. And my Chevelle over there, we took it to Willow Springs, big track, and roll raced a RS GT3 Porsche. Wow.
Yeah.
Just, he had a sad day that day with his, you know.
He smoked it?
100,000, numerous times.
Holy shit.
So.
That seems like driver error.
Yeah, well, no, actually, the guy who was driving it, he has like 2,000 laps at Willow. He dominates that track.
Wow.
So, but, I mean, it does make a ton of power.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just to keep me in my place, he would slow. We were rolling. We were racing clockwise on the track, and we were coming out of the last turn at 30 and then race to the start-finish line. And I would be two cars, three cars. The director actually asked me to slow down. He'd like to get both cars in one frame. But... he would just get on the brakes and take the turnout, the very first turnout. And at turn one, I would be like skidding off into the dirt. So he kept me in my place. So some things that Porsche could do way better than my car.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So you're talking about the Chevelle right now, 66
yeah.
Chevelle.
Yeah, the 66 Chevelle.
That's a pretty famous car tied to you. Would you say that's like your personality in a car?
It's probably the car I've owned the longest. I got that car from my buddy Kalen Head, who sold it to me, let me do payments on it for $5,500 before I knew anybody at Hot Rod or Car Craft.
Yeah.
And I had built pretty much the whole car prior to working for the company or doing anything like that. And then when I got on the company, I was just like, well, time to upgrade a few things. So it's got a lot of upgrades on it. But
yeah. Originally, it had a 6-liter LS in it.
Originally, a junkyard 6-liter LS that I purchased from a dealership in Huntington Beach, a Chevy dealer, for $1,000. And I still have that motor, as a matter of fact. And I think the guy told me, because if you bring me the money today, I'll sell you the motor for $1,000. I said, okay. I was at the overhauling deal. And Chip Boost was there. And I was like, dude, can I borrow your truck at lunchtime? He said, sure. Keys are right there. So I drove over in Chip Foose's F-150 to the Chevy dealership, which is everybody at the Chevy was just like, why is this fancy-ass F-150 pulling in? And then the guy was loading it. I said, hey, do me a favor. Be real careful around this truck. He's like, holy shit, is this Chip Foose's truck? I was just like, yeah. He's like, holy, can I get a picture with the truck? Sure, buddy. Just as soon as you put my motor in there.
So. Was the bed all nice? Or
did oh, you yeah. Chip's truck is really nice. Well, I mean, it's a work truck.
Did you have to put blankets still down?
It's Foose. I did that just out of courtesy. But it was pretty funny.
So you mentioned living in Germany for a while. What was that about?
Well, my kids had grown up and moved out and went through a divorce and didn't own any property. And I was just like, you know what? I talked to my friend. She lived in Germany and she was in the military. She goes, you should come visit. And I was like, all right, I got nothing going on.
Yeah.
So I literally, this is before any of the TV shows or anything like that. I was just some mobile tech guy that was fixing cars. So I had a business route, a bunch of body shops that I went to pretty regularly that put my kids through school and bought me houses and stuff. And I sold that business to somebody and just decided to go to Europe and, you know, figured I was retiring.
That's
to be
awesome.
Perfectly honest.
Do a gap year.
To visit, yeah. And Rumspringer?
Yeah.
And so I went to, flew into Frankfurt and ended up hanging out there for 5 years. I worked at a place called Firma Hestemann, which is, This is funny. I walked into a automotive repair shop in a town called Erlensee, which is right outside of mm-hmm. Frankfurt. It said U.S. Auto out front. Everything else is written in German there.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, U.S. Auto. Cool. I had bought a little Volkswagen Rabbit while I was there. So I have a little car, you know, cool local car to cruise yeah. around. And I had an Opel Corsa, which we called the cool. Opel Scheiße. It's just a little piece of crap. And I went there to get some parts, and I walked in, and I was like, hey, you guys speak English? And there's a bunch of guys working on like a Mustang.
Oh, wow.
Which would be like walking in here, this is full of Porsches.
Yeah.
You know, there's no American cars over there. So I walk in, I'm like, hey, you guys speak English? Nay. Nobody here speaks English. Nay. I was like, well, then you should can take a U.S. auto off the front, you idiots, and I start to walk out, and they all just start laughing. And I was just like, you speak English? They're like, of course we speak English. They teach us English in school. And I was just like, oh, you guys remind me of me.
Yeah.
You remind me of myself. And I ended up working there for like 4 years.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so fun to like instantly know that
yeah.
you belong.
Yeah, I just clicked right in.
So that's so cool. What made you come back to the U.S.?
Oh, so my girlfriend at the time was stationed over there. And then we had bought a couple of homes in Lake Havasu while we were over there with the money that I earned and she earned.
Sight unseen, or was this slowly traveled back?
Well, no, through a company.
Okay.
So I had new homes built. And then came back and retired basically to Lake Havasu. I wouldn't say retired, but I was going to go there and work on hot rods, and she was going to do whatever she does. And Havasu is sort of a retirement community. And
sure, I was not a little sleepy.
I was not old enough to retire yet. So I was just like, well, I'll be building hot rods over there. Well, these guys are all not a fixed income, but, you know, they're not sure. trying to hot rod their hot rods.
It's not like Glendale.
Exactly. Now it's different. There's lots of new builds and stuff going on over there. But when I was there, it was just like the car shows were all the same cars. They all had tweed interiors, you know. Yeah. They all had the same stuff.
The line of Corvettes that are like one of a thousand.
There was New Balance everywhere.
So, George.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I was just like, well, you know what? This isn't, you know, happening. So I'm from the South Bay. So we both moved back here.
Yeah.
And rented a little house. And she got a job. I forgot even what she did. I think she worked at a body shop. She was a service writer. And then I just started doing my mobile thing again. And that's when I stumbled. That was just literally 2 years before overhauling. I stumbled into overhauling.
Wow.
And I was still going back and forth to Lake Havasu. All my cars are still registered in Havasu.
Sure. So this is kind of a right place, right time moment.
Exactly right. So
speaking of overhauling, was that your first foray into TV?
Yeah, that's the first thing I ever did for TV. I did. I've always done mobile tech, which is you call me, I come to your shop, home shop or shop, and help you solve problems or fix cars or whatever. So that's what I've always done. Prior to doing hot rods and stuff, it was dealerships and body shops. This is probably going to age me, but before airbags were very common in every car, if an airbag deployed, it would just destroy the car. And the cars weren't totaled yet.
Yeah.
So the dashboard airbag would deploy and it would break the windshield and smash the dash. And they needed someone, body shops or body shops, that's what they do. They needed somebody to go there and take the dash and everything out and put all new stuff in and not have a bunch of check engine lights and coolant leaking and stuff on, you know what I mean, that wanted it done right. So that's what I did. And then also a lot of wiring repairs. A car gets hit in the A pillar or the B pillar. It cuts the wiring harness or the front end. A body shop does what a body shop does, and they need someone to go there. Now I think pretty much every body shop has a specialized electrical guy or dashboard guy or something like that. But when I was raising my kids and doing this stuff, I was just the mobile dude, and I went everywhere. You wow. name a body shop, I pretty much worked there in the South Bay.
So you got to know a ton of people around the South Bay.
Yeah, but not people that are in the bubble that I work in now. But so yeah, the rest of that was I got called to go do a job in Huntington Beach at 714 Motorsports, which is a pretty famous upholstery shop and custom car place. And he goes, hey, this guy's got a bunch of cars in a warehouse that are left over from a car show and they want them all fixed. And I was just like, well, what kind of cars? Oh, a little bit of everything. What kind of work? Oh, a little bit of everything. I was like, oh, all right. So I went and looked, and it was a bunch of different cars from overhauling that did not quite get done in time. But that's when they were trying to build entire cars, paint them in 7 days or something. Like, I don't even see how that was even possible.
I don't, that seems insane.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I would have never done that. But we'd have to get a car done and then move on to the next build. So there'd be a car over there that needs all brake lines, and the car over there needs a transmission. This one needs a rear end rebuild, and this one needs to be wired, and that one needs AC. And Next thing you know, they got a warehouse full of cars and a bunch of people, I'm sure, going, hey, dude, where the hell's my car? We did the payoff. You know, yeah. Oh, I cried. Here's my car. Oh, thank you.
And then they don't see it. And they're like,
yeah, we'll call you next year when your car's actually done. So I finished all the cars and I gave them the don't ever call me again price. Like, I'm never going to work for these guys. Yeah,
just like the highest quote you could think of.
Yeah, well, I'm not that. I didn't rip them off, but I did not cut them any slack at all. I charged them retail.
So you're like, I'm never going to hear from these guys again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not married to the customers. I know all the cars are safe. I go, you know what? Thanks so much, television people. Here's the bill. And they're like, oh, thank you. And just paid me.
Yeah, didn't even look
at it. I was like, I think I left money on the table here. And they're like, hey, how would you like to be on the show? It's like, no, I'm good. Thank you. And then they're like, well, no, we'd really like to have you there for the deconstruction and then on the payoff day to make sure the car's there and running. We can pay you this much every episode. I'm like, well, okay, but I mean, I make more than that in the real world. Well, yeah. You're only going to be here for a few hours when we take the car apart and when we put it back together.
So you can still have your mobile business and do this.
Yeah. Well, that turned into 7 days a week, 6 or 7 days a week, 8, 10, 12, 14 hours a day for like 2 years.
That's the thing with production is they tell you, oh, you're only going to have to be here from 2 to 4, but you have to get there at 1.
Right.
And then there's like a 2-hour commute and it's always inconvenient.
Yeah. So it'd be great. Fortunately, I met a lot of cool people and did, you know, lots of fun stuff I would have normally done. So,
television was always your side hustle. It was never like a goal.
Yeah, no, it was just a stop on the route is all it was. So I did that for the longest time. And then when that came to an end after 2 seasons and 20 or 5 cars or something, quite a few cars, got a phone call from Kalen Head. Going back to Kalen, the guy that sold me my Chevelle, and he was the tech center supervisor and said, over here at Motor Trend. I was just like, yeah, where's that at? You know, like, it's right over here in El Segundo. I was like, I don't really go in that area, but okay. So I went over there and it was Mike Finnegan. You know Mike Finnegan?
Yeah.
So his El Camino, they had put a transmission in and something caused the transmission to fail on the first drive. And so they needed it the next day to drive. So they said, we have to go do this. And it's typical, you know, the talent has to go do something to continue the show, but we need to drive this car tomorrow morning. So I went there in that night and swapped the transmission out and put it back in, met the guys. Everybody was cool. Told them how much to have me there for a few hours, you know, after hours. And they're like, yeah, double that. So,
wow.
And I was like, oh, awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So I did that. And then maybe a week or two later, David Freiberger said, you want to put an LS in a van? On camera, cool. Do you have any experience? I was like, well, yeah, an overhauling.
That kind of just proves, like, if you do good work and...
Well, just get it done right and be fair, yeah.
Was there... because, I mean, obviously having a mobile business, you had to work with what you had, and you didn't really have, you know, like, you had to... Maybe there weren't lifts at the time, or you...
Yeah, everything was on the ground. But that's also, too, is one of the reasons I do electrical work. I mean, now I do everything. But back then, it was just electrical. Like, I'm a grown-ass man. I'm not crawling around in someone's driveway. No shade on anybody who does that.
Yeah.
Good for you. I just, my knees don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. So, yeah, I'll put it on the lift for sure. I don't care if I look like a sissy or not.
Yeah. But the point was that, like, you've got this mobile business. You're used to kind of doing things on the fly, doing things fast, and making sure that they're safe. There's no wonder that, like, once you start doing stuff for, you know, television productions, and you're working faster than, you know, the hosts do on their own, they have to deliver lines and stuff, and they're distracted, and they have to break for lunch.
Dude,
and stuff
like that. Dude, that is so funny that you bring that up, because that was just my biggest bummer.
Host working slow?
Not even host working slow, because I was turning wrenches on overhauling. I've never really been a host. I used to just talk so much crap about hosts. I mean, one time I went on... I forget what it was. I was on stage somewhere and they're like, hey, Lucky, so what's it like? And blah, blah, blah. Bro, I'm not a host. I just work on cars. I go, I'm not an actor. I don't act like an actor. I'm not. And I didn't realize that, like, there are people that they're professional hosts.
Yeah.
And there's a total skill set that I just don't have. I call it like I say it. I see it and I just try not to cuss on camera.
So you've never tried to, like, put it on for the camera? You just always try to be yourself and swear
less.
A little bit less?
Yeah, could care less, yeah.
That's awesome.
I think we talked about that a little while ago. Like, I got a truck driver's mouth. There's no doubt about it. I try to keep it reasonable, under control when I'm on camera. basically on Power Tour 1 year, a guy came up to me with his two little angel daughters. And they were just like, Lucky, thank you so much for keeping it so clean. And so I watched this. This is the best time I spent with my kids. I was just like, wow, that's awesome. I consciously try not to disappoint that guy.
Sure.
So.
And you start working on Overhaul, then you go over to Hot Rod Garage, and you're co-hosting with Tony Angelo.
Correct.
That whole run was super epic. I mean, you talked about all the cars that you did. You did all, for almost 10 years.
Right.
Hot Rod Garage.
Yeah. It was awesome, too, because Tony had, like, I don't know if he and it contractually had creative control, but we didn't. First of all, we never had a showrunner. Didn't know what a showrunner was.
Really?
Yeah. Never even heard of a showrunner. It was just basically all, everybody sitting around, and I was just like, hey, dude, I don't give a shit what we're building.
Yeah.
Let's just build it and have some fun. And I think you had asked me earlier about, you know, isn't it weird working with people that are moving fast and are moving slow and you're moving fast?
Yeah.
That was, I wanted to, yeah, touch on that. So that was the thing. They're just like, Lucky, stop building the car. We have to film this. I got that all the time from our director, Haven. And I was just like, oh, man. So I got to the point I was figuring out what the money shots were, what needed to be filmed.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see a film two and a half feet of steel. They want to see the first 45 inches or 45 centimeters, and then that's it.
Did you ever have to, like, you know, unscrew a couple of bolts and be like, all right, just finish
it up? No, I'll say stuff like, hey, do you guys want this? I'm putting the differential in. Hey, do you guys want this? And they would come over. They'd get a little bit, you know, I would work right through lunch because I wanted to have the car done. I've always been I feel responsible to get the car done.
Yeah.
Never, ever, when me and Tony did we half build a car and send it someplace and have it finished and have it come back.
Yeah.
Which is commonplace in that whole industry.
I will say Donut does not do that. And I really appreciate it.
Well, you know what? There are many times that me and Tony had been sitting around talking to other people about the way they do their show. And our show was always 100% us working on cars. And we would finish the cars. And if they weren't done, we would just look at each other like, which one of us forgot to do something? And it literally was always the same thing. You know, maybe somebody forgot to do this or somebody forgot to do that.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Was there ever growing pains, like going from working in a shop, being able to say whatever you want, to being on camera and having a corporation like Motor Trend watching over you like that?
Yeah.
Was there ever like an HR situation where they're like, hey, Lucky, you can't.
Well, not, you know what? I thought there would be an HR thing because I've said some colorful stuff and maybe it forgot I was mic'd or whatever. And I do recall a couple of meetings. Like technically, I've always been a sublet guy. Like I don't have to go to HR. They'll just say, we're just not going to call you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what that boils. They're not going to reprimand me. They're just going to tell me, don't come in here anymore. We don't like you. But nothing crazy that would go over the top, but I've been in meetings before where people have neutrally said, just in general, just so you guys know, your microphones are on and some of the things you say in personal conversations may or may not go through somebody else's, you know, monitor at some point. And it may or may not offend other people over in the editing. I call it the dark side.
The editors.
I was just like, oh, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. All right. So you'll see it. If you ever see footage of Hot Rod Garage, like behind the scene, I'm always doing this. Like, am I mic'd? Am I mic'd?
Yeah.
So this is what happened, right? So the guy pulled up next to me and I'm just like, oh, wait, am I mic'd? Okay. Let me tell you the rest of the story.
That's so funny. Like David Freiberger likes what you do. He likes your work. He invites you on and then he makes you introduce yourself.
Yeah, well, the first time when we were doing the van, he let me introduce myself and then went back and forth and we had our fun. And then, I don't know, it was a while ago. I don't know if it was weeks or months. It didn't seem like it was that long. He was just like, hey, would you consider doing some off-camera stuff with Tony?
Yeah.
Tony Angelo had taken over Hot Rod Garage. And I was like, yeah, of course. And then I I mean, Tony's a great guy, but I think the internet just wasn't ready for change at the time. So I remember seeing the comments when Tony was doing it, trying to do it alone, which is a lot. Dude, anyone would slice it. No one's doing a show by themselves. And the one thing about my sarcasm that some people call humor, but it's actually sarcasm, is it only works if you can pop it off somebody who can take it. You know what I mean? And Tony is a funny guy.
So you guys had a good rapport, like, away?
We got along fine. So, and I knew when he looked at you and said, let's wrap that shit up. That's about as far as I want to go with the short jokes or whatever I was doing at the time. It's like, okay, so there's Tony's button right there.
Yeah.
So we started doing the show together. So I was a co-host and he was the host. And the Hot Rod Garage Show was awesome. We did it for 10 years or we did it for a long time and a lot of episodes. And right from the beginning, when it was literally, we would shoot every single day of the week if we could.
Yeah. And these are like long days, right?
You Every one of them was 10-hour days. We would just make up shit and just build it. We just make stuff. Hey, let's get a 70 El Camino and put a Cummins 12 valve in it. I'm like, let's do it. So Tony would come up with some crazy ideas. I'm just like, it should fit.
Yeah.
We don't need a hood. Hoods are stupid. Get rid of the hood. So we did the Diesel Camino. We did that. And then
I know when we had Freiberger on, he loved to come up with pun names for his cars.
Right.
Did you guys come up with the pun names too?
Yeah, we did. But Freiberger's theory is the car should earn its name.
Sure. So yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but I don't see how that works for roadkill because half their stuff didn't barely run. So everything would be like, it should be like a dead duck or a dead goose because something's broke down on the freeway. But I love like Crusher Camaro. I did a ton of work on the Crusher Impala, the same thing. They saved those cars. So he builds cool stuff and they have good names. So our stuff wasn't so good. We did I think our stuff was okay. We did an Impala and we got like an 06 Impala, I think. It's the one that looks like a Nissan, looks like any other little import.
Yeah.
But they have LSs mounted sideways in the front.
Oh, so it's front wheel drive.
Right. So it's front wheel drive with an LS V8 sideways in the front. Wow. So we're like, why don't we get two of those and take everything out of the front of one and put it in the back?
Yeah.
And Tony's all, yeah, that's exactly. He and Tony had already written the creative. Like he was on the roll there.
Yeah.
So I did one in Germany. I lived in Germany for a few years, and we did a Volkswagen Golf, a Rabbit, and we put a drivetrain in the front, drivetrain in the back. Because if you think about it, they have four strut towers.
Yeah.
So why not take the front struts, move them to the back, modify everything, lock out the steering, and now all you have to do is make sure they shift at the same time and run relatively good. Well, I don't know if I told that to Tony or not, but either way, we found like a GTX, which is the Impala.
Yeah.
And a nice, nice black SS Impala. And we put two engines of one in the front, one in the back, called it the Twin Pala. And then that was okay. I mean,
it worked well.
Yeah. And then, well, now the sketch level is way too low. Let's twin turbo it. So it was all-wheel drive.
It's not dangerous enough. Let's add some turbos to it.
I made myself motion sick driving it straight. It accelerated so hard, my brain just could not figure it out. So
really?
Yeah, literally. I'm just like, oh, I don't feel good, Tony, you know?
That's crazy.
And then Tony's idea was to roll down and put the back in front and forward and the front in reverse and turn the wheels and mat the gas.
What?
So you've seen donuts, right?
Like a cyclone donut?
You guys familiar with the term donuts?
Yeah, I think so.
They go in a circle? Yeah. Well, axis spins is just like if you have all four wheels spinning. The car doesn't do a donut. It just spins until you vomit.
Oh, God. So, that's like a vomit machine.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, vomit comet? What are we going to call this thing? And it stuck with Twin Paula. And I was just like,
So you had rear wheel steering on it
too? No, we locked out the rear steer.
Okay.
But you could just turn the wheels and put the back in reverse and the front and drive or vice versa. And they fight against each other. And the car just starts spinning in one spot.
Yeah.
So it was like donut holes.
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
God, that makes me sick just thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, man. It's like, just like, this is awesome. I don't ever want to ride in it again. It was super sketchy. We took it drag racing. And the story goes, Tony went back for tech inspection, and the guy looked out. You just see the clean SS Impala. Hey, you got a helmet? Yeah. Got belts in it? Yeah, because it looks like you drove your mom's car there. Signed the tech card. Here you go. I think its first pass was like 148 miles an hour or 130, something crazy. And the transmissions were shifting at different speeds. So he's just going down and he drives around the burnout pit. And everybody's like, what the hell's going on with this car? Because we hadn't opened the doors or anything yet. There's just gauges bolted to the dashboard all the way across. So it looks kind of dorky. So he pulls out and boom. And then, let's do it 120, 120 or 130, and the transmissions are shifted at different size times.
That's crazy.
And he came back. He's like, this is the scariest thing I've ever done. Tony Angelo, this is the scariest shit I've ever done.
Damn.
And so, yeah.
Wait, so like, what does that even look like? I can kind of like...
Well, you go fast, you want it to be low. But now if something in the back is starting to shift a little bit slower, a little bit faster, so I want to pull the front end up and
it
down.
Starts shifting weight.
Yeah, it just started doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And Tony made a few passes with it. I think that thing went 10s easy. It may have gone faster than that.
It's got to be heavy too.
But after the first pass, then the crowd lost their minds. And he brought it back around. The tech guy comes rolling up on his scooter. He's like, what is going on? Hold on now. Because the back door is open. Everybody's like looking in there. He's like, I got to tech this thing. And it passed tech. But yeah, that was some funny stuff. Yeah. But
well, I think that's super admirable. And I feel like I said this with Weston too, but like the authenticity that comes from you and comes from your work is why people glom onto you and like follow you and now have followed you from Hot Rod Garage to your YouTube channel, Lucky's Garage Show.
Right. Oh, shout out to Lucky's Garage on YouTube because it's not my show. It's a coffee house. Like
the coffee
Midwest
house has a YouTube channel?
Yeah, yeah, called Lucky's Garage. And I was like, awesome name for a garage for a coffee house.
Yeah.
This is Lucky's Garage. I like it. So mine is Lucky's Garage Show.
Do you find
no
it
coffee,
weird?
No coffee on mine.
Do you think it's just because of the long hours that there's so much crossover between like motors and coffee? Because I feel like that is a common, you know, like up in Oregon or in Portland, they have like CC Coffee Motor Garage where it's like motorcycles and coffee.
Right.
In LA, we have Deus. That's like a coffee shop and like a motorcycle apparel and stuff. Huh. You think it's because mechanics are always just tired that there's that strong crossover?
Maybe. Is there Red Bull in coffee? Are Red Bull in cars?
I know a lot of mechanics. The
energy drinking cars?
Red Bull.
Yeah, that's
for sure.
True. Monster in cars?
Yeah. All those energy drinks sponsor.
Keep you up all night working on those cars. Yeah.
And they sponsor like motorsport
too. There could be a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
There could be a thing.
I think we stumbled upon some conspiracy.
I mean, me and my first wife, we were going to do a pizza place.
Oh, nice.
And a hot rod shop in Lake Havasu.
That's
cool.
And
do a big glass, bunch of windows and two units next to each other. And then there was something to do with insurance. Didn't want to insure one or the other because you're going to be grinding or welding over here and someone's going to fly through the window and some kid get at cold stone or something to do with toxic, hazardous, flammable fluid fumes and a restaurant.
Yeah. Brake cleaner.
Yeah, brake cleaner. Flamethrowers and torches
and
people trying to have a nice dinner.
Do you, you like to cook at home a lot?
I do not.
Oh.
Yeah, I do not.
But you have a good pizza recipe? What was the...
Actually, I can't eat cheese, so yeah. I call it a Italian tostada. It would be a pizza with no cheese. I don't know what Tony was just disgusted with me when I told him I couldn't eat dairy. He had to order pizza for me when we were in Philly.
Yeah.
I go, hey, can I get a pizza with that? Tataki, I'll get this for you, buddy. Hey, let me just get a pie with no good. I had to keep it on the DL. So
you don't want...
Shout out to Tony Angelo for saving my street cred. I was in Philly.
What did you like to eat on Motor Trend shoots? You guys are shooting for 10 hours a day.
I'm not saying that I'm hard body now, but I was a round guy, I think, a lot on Motor Trend or on working there because they'll get you whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, craft services. I never even heard of that. On overhauling, it was just like, hey, lunchtime. You know, we would go into the spot and they'd be like, what are we having today? Oh, cold sandwiches. How awesome. But craft services. Hey, what do you guys want?
Yeah.
I'm like, seriously? And then I realized, Carl's Jr., number two. You know? Carl's Jr., number one, no cheese. So I kept it very simple. We had one guy that would go, he was a director. I won't say his name, but he's the one I told you about the file called the iPhone Garage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he would get some crazy ass drink that was $18 and came with a glass that if you brought it back, you could get $10 at something. It was but he would always get like two of those. I'm just like, where? And then people were like, oh, we're gonna get Thai barbecue or Korean this, and Alex got bobas, and I was just like, what? Give me a Coke.
You guys stop
man.
At Carl's Jr. on the way?
Sometimes I would like a bunch of food would get there. It's like, oh, Lucky, I got you this. I figured you'd like it. I was just like, awesome, I'll be back in a half hour, and I just go get my own food. Alex got me into boba, so
oh, you like boba now?
Well, I did while Alex was making me get it, we did boba runs for test drives on the cars.
What's your order?
If you guys would have said Jelly Bellies and tea, I would have just, you could have just saved me the boba fuss.
What do you order at boba?
I don't, whatever Alex gets me, I just tell her to make sure there's no cream in it. So
you just do like a tea or something with?
Yeah, yeah. Something very basic.
Well, so that wasn't like a weird texture to get used to?
No, it was kind of weird. It's kind of weird. I seen a meme of I think it was a rabbit taking a poo, and the guy had like tea. And it was just like little pellets falling in, and I sent it to Alex. I'm like, you want some boba? The big ass straw.
Well, thanks for ruining boba for all of us.
There you go. Anybody got a rabbit? You can have boba at home.
Yeah. So when everything kind of fell apart when I went straight from boba to something serious.
Sure. But
when Motor Trend got bought out by Discovery and then kind of went under.
Yeah, even which time? Dude, I don't even know. I've said it a million times. I don't do meetings, I do cars. Okay.
Yeah.
I just crack wise and I work on cars. Are we working tomorrow? I would say that all the time. Are we working? Do I still got a job? Yeah. Let's party. Let's get something built.
So for 10 years, you put your mobile business kind of on the sidelines?
No, I still did it. Always done it. Always had a small shop. It was 1,200 square feet, and now I'm 10,000. I'm 8,000.
So you were just a contractor the whole time?
Yeah, the whole time. That's why I would say stuff and then be like, you're going to get stuck in HR. No, dude, I'm not. Just don't call me anymore.
So you always had the safety net, which was your bread and butter.
Yeah, yeah. And then, zero trust in the industry. Is that what they say? People in the industry, isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
The industry, yeah.
Yeah,
zero trust, zero loyalty. They find somebody with a different shade color hair or a lighter eye or more tattoos or whatever the trend is, then guess who our new host of Hot Rod Garage is next year? You know, it's just so there's no loyalty there.
Well, I mean, it worked out for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You never had like kind of downtime, whereas maybe other people at Motor Trend came to work for Donut.
Right.
Thank you for your services, everyone.
That's the other thing too, is it's a business. So it's a business. As long as I'm having fun, I said that a million times. As long as I'm having fun, I'll show up every single day early.
Yeah.
And I did, always early, always the first guy there. We're pretty close. But never the first one to leave. Well, that's not true either. But still, I had fun. It was a good time. And as soon as it stopped being that, it worked out well.
Yeah.
So me and Alex did it for like 3 years. It got bought. I met a new guy. Who's that guy? Oh, that's the new boss. He's the guy with all the bracelets is the owner of the business. I forget the guy's name, but he was a nice guy and he bought either Discovery or it was Mind Over.
And this is the guy that looked like Vince Neil.
No, that's somebody else.
Oh.
But yeah, we keep save that.
Okay.
So get me canceled. Get me canceled. On the street canceled. I don't know. He was one of the executives that bought the company
Discovery.
New boss or whatever. Very nice guy. I talked to him a bunch of times. It was very complimentary to me. And then I just remember somebody else going, see the meeting. They had a big Zoom meeting and we're all sitting around a table and a bunch of people I don't know were on the monitors. I'm just, do I even need to be here? I'm just like the custodian or something, you know? Nothing's going to change. You know, we really love the way everything runs here, blah, blah, blah. And a month later, I heard they shut down and fired 300 people from Florida and relocated people here and then let them go. Just all kinds of stuff. I just heard this stuff. I'm not privy. I don't do those meetings or watch that on the internet. So, it was crazy. And then there was another person. And it was, this is the new guy. And they would do a tour through, look at all the stuff we had. These are all of our cars. And walk through the venue.
The new guy's doing the tours?
Whoever the new guy were. I mean, we'd be at the studio. And people would come through like with a tour. Like all these people. And so they'd be like, hey, just these are the bosses. They're just walking through the place. I'm just like, the new bosses. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're not race car guys at all. They're not car guys. They're just walking through looking at,
their money
guys. Look at our $1 million, $1 billion. Whatever it is.
These are all our assets.
Yeah. And I'd be like, hey, can you weld? Come on, we need some help back here. They'd be like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. We don't know who that is. Let's move on.
A silver haired guy is hilarious. Keep him. So.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more.
That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So you saw the tides changing and you were like,
I was riding the wave. I did not foresee it happening. I was just like, hey, shit's changing. And then the next thing you know, there's somebody else. And then it's like, oh, guess what? You work for Warner Brothers. Awesome. I used to watch their cartoons when I was a kid. I love it.
You know Bugs Bunny?
Yeah. And then Christmas time, we would get stuff from Harry Potter shit. We just show up at my house like around Christmas and around my birthday. Like, what is this? They're like, oh, well, that's the same company. They own it. So this is a Harry Potter wand that you can say something and do this and it would turn your TV on and shut your lights. I'm just like, awesome. Yeah, it's in a box over there somewhere. I don't know. So I was just like, that's cool. Well, we're not going anywhere. That's a big ass company.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, guess what? That big ass company sold you to somebody else. So.
Man, how did you feel when they finally canceled Hot Rod Garage?
You know what? At the point, it had definitely run its course. So it canceled. They canceled all the shows except for a few, like all the Roadkill trilogy stayed and the one with Derek. What's it called? Derek Bieri.
I know what you're talking about.
Vice Grip, but they called it something else. Roadworthy.
Roadworthy.
And which is funny because nothing he works on is roadworthy. Shout out to Derek. And then, have you seen his show? It's just like, I found a rusty piece of crap in the middle of nowhere. Let's make it run. Ooh, wasp. Kill him. You know?
Yeah.
Brakes. Who needs them? Let's drive it home. Yeah, okay. I love that guy. So then... me and Alex were doing stuff. And so they canceled all the shows, but kept us. We're like, well, they kept us for another season. So they kept us for 3 years longer than they kept, you know, most of the other shows. And I'm just like, well, all right. I mean, during the last thing, I started accumulating more units in the complex here, knowing that I wanted my garage to be bigger and take in more jobs, knowing that that wasn't going to last forever. Tony got out, you know, 3 years before it ended. And I was like, oh, he left 3 years worth of money on the table, in my opinion. So, but he's doing awesome on his YouTube show.
He's doing great,
So, which is called Stay Tuned with Tony Angelo.
Yeah.
Which is a really good show. He came in here not too long ago. He's friends with the comedian dude, Tosh.0. Daniel Tosh.
Yeah.
So he lives out here and he went on Daniel Tosh's show. And then Daniel Tosh had a little Subaru.
Tosh.0 is a car guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he's got a couple cool cars.
Okay.
But he had this little Subaru van that's a mini car.
Like yeah.
A little with suicide doors factory. And it's two-stroke.
Wow.
And it didn't run for shit. And Tony had it towed over here. And then Tony flew in. We were on our way to some event. And we did a little thing on his Stay Tuned, where we got the thing running. And
sure. So you still stay in touch with
Yeah, we talk every Tony. Once in a while. The funny part was on the show, it's Tony Angelo, first of all. If you Google Tony Angelo, you're going to just see a car, tires in the air, smoke, fire, something. There's no cool pictures of Tony Angelo. He's just sitting around being bella. Something crazy is happening if Tony Angelo is involved. So I worked with the guy for 10 years or something, and he's like, hop in. We're going to go for a ride around the block. It's like, I know better than that. I'm a grown man. I know better than the ride passenger with a nut. And so every episode was the same thing. Okay, this thing's good. Hop in, luck. Let's go. I'm like, hard pass. You know? You go ahead and have your fun, young man. And there was one we put a 5.0 Mustang in an MG, 5.0 Mustang motor and 5-speed transmission in an MGB, a little one.
Oh, wow.
We called it the 5.0 MG. And great. So it was an old, it was a race car, like an SCCA car.
Yeah.
So it was all gutted and just all this craziness. I cut the firewall out. We wedged this motor in there. He had worked the gas pedal with your left, you know, it's just all of you could barely squeeze in that thing. I couldn't sit in the car and drive. Tony fit. So Tony would drive the thing and we took it up to Topanga Canyon and Canyon run it. And
that sounds like a death trap.
Yeah. So that's the gig. So we're at the racetrack and I'm sitting on an apple box next to the, on the passenger side outside and they're shooting low from the other side. And I do the intro on this episode of Hot Rod Garage. And Tony like tacks it and just does a burnout. And I'm just sitting there on a box. And I'm just like, I'm still not riding with this guy. You know, so every episode was something like that. Like, I'm not going to ride with Tony.
Yeah.
So he came in and we worked on this van, got it running. So I hop in, we're going for a drive. I'm just like hopped in one side and opened the door and walked out the other side. It's a double slide van. I go, dude, I'm still not riding with you. You're crazy. And he took off out of here. I heard he had it on two wheels. So. Yeah, the YouTube channel thing is it's a little bit difficult to do successfully for me. Like, I see a lot of people, they hire people to do it like legit, like it's their job. If I have to do that as a job, it's not what I want to do. I'm not looking for content. You know, if you want to see what I'm doing, I'll point a camera at it, but I'm not trying to, you know, it would be a great build as if we did this. That's what the show was.
Yeah.
And it's not here. You know what I mean? That thing, that's gone. So I just shoot what I'm doing. Like,
sure.
Customers' cars, they can check on their stuff and see how I built it anytime they want. It's right on the spot.
Do you have any customers that ever are like, don't show my car?
No. One of my customers and who has become a friend is Dak Shepherd.
Yeah.
So I refer to him as Kristen Bell's husband.
That's what Cher called him too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he's the nicest, coolest guy. I'll play you off camera.
Did you build his station wagon?
I've rebuilt a bunch of his stuff, redone it. So I think most of the stuff he had done was done with people with limited time and no limited budget, but limited time because it was built for something to be used as filmed. And whenever you're doing stuff in a hurry for a production company, they don't really care if the AC blows cold.
They just
the gauges work.
Good.
They're just like, yeah. And so I redid a bunch of stuff on his van, on his Roadmaster.
Yeah.
And
that thing's sick.
Yeah, we dynoed it. We got like 500 to the wheel on that thing, which is crazy. And I got pulled over, followed by the cops in Torrance, me and the tuner, Tuner Tom. Shout out to my boy, Tuner Tom. We're doing passes over here in a little industrial area, like late at night. And it's right by a police substation. Like, we know they're over there.
Yeah.
We're not hiding. We're not drifting. We're just making passes and turn around and go the other way. And they pull out and we make a pass and they pull up behind us. And he's over there. Da-da-da-da-da. They don't say anything. We turn back around. They act like they're leaving. We make a pass. They come back around. They park behind us, the police. And I'm just like, that's kind of weird. Well, they ran the plate and it came back, you know, Dax and Kristen.
Oh.
And they're like, all right. Boom. They just go on their way. Wow. If it would have came back to Lucky Costa, pull that guy over.
Yeah, you know? he didn't have a license.
An idiot has a name named Lucky. Clearly a gang member.
Do you feel like you're a lucky person?
Oh, I'm super fortunate. Yeah, that's awesome. It all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I get that when I go to spots like the bubble of car people. If I go like Grand National Roadster Show, hey, aren't you lucky? I'm very fortunate for sure.
That's awesome.
And it's also my name.
Luck as a word gets misconstrued a lot. I feel like you make your own luck a lot of times. You know, like
it's true. Yeah. Yeah.
If you prepare enough, what do they say? Luck is like preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah. But see, now I would agree with that. Like, I'm sure it's, I mean, well, anyway, you could view it anyway. I've been known to go to the casino and act just an idiot, just not like some big baller just blowing money. But, you know, what are the chances of walking up to a $100 slot machine and putting in $500 and winning?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure everybody does it. I literally have video of me doing it and hitting the crazy jackpots. And Mark in there, he's Gas Rats Mark. Me and him have been to the casino like at LS Fest and whatever. And he's like, all right, well, let's see one of these stories. And I walk up to the dollar slot machine playing $25 a spin or something, which isn't a crazy amount. But normally normal responsible people are playing pennies and nickels and $5 max, you know. I'm just like, oh, no, you know, $20, $50, $25, bonus, hand pay. I'm waiting for a hand pay on this. A hand pay is anything over $1,200.
Yeah.
And so I win $2,000 or $3,000 on this. I was like, oh, I'll play the machine next to it while I'm waiting to get paid on that one. Boom, hand pay. That machine's set. I got three machines tied up for hand pay.
Oh,
it's like
God.
$6,000. And Mark's like, what the actual hell? You know, like, what? Dude, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any idea. I was with it started out. I went to LS Fest with Holly, and we were staying in there's a casino called the Cannery. Mm-hmm. It's a real small casino and everybody smokes. So Bill Tishner, the president of Holly, he's like, they call it the smokery. They don't even call it the cannery. So I'm downstairs waiting for them to come down so we can go eat. I see some random machine on an island by itself. You know, let me just throw a couple $100 in this. I'm playing, playing, playing. Boom, bonus, balls flying, numbers. I go, it's like Keno. I don't get it. Boom. It says grand. I was like, grand. Oh, cool. I'm down about $1,000. So I just want a grand. And then now while I was doing all this, like, wait a minute. They don't call it a grand when you get a grand.
Grand prize?
It was a grand prize.
Holy shit.
Times two.
What?
So when it's all said and done, ding, ding, lights, boom, boom, the person comes over. She goes, oh, my God, I've never seen anybody win on this machine. So congratulations. You won $9,998. And what? Then Bill walks up. He's all, you're buying lunch. It's like, what? So I took that money. I set it aside. And then that was the only money I would gamble with, 10 grand. So that's awesome. I left Vegas with, I think, $18,000 that weekend. Jeez. And then I went to Paula and a bunch of other casinos. And within a year, my gambling budget was like 35 grand or 36,000 bucks. So it was just the money. I was gambling for free.
That's a good year.
Yeah, that was good. According to my accountant, I gave it all back. But man, he told me, yeah, you might need to seek professional help because
I don't know, man.
You leave all the money.
I think you should just keep riding.
You leave all that money in the casino. I was like, yeah, I get you, bro.
I would say that you're a lucky person.
Yep, super fortunate. Doing that kind of
absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. And then you also, too, that wasn't once or twice. If you ask Mark Gasrats,
this is
so many. Yeah, just I stopped doing it because I don't really have a bunch of extra free. Nobody's giving me free money on the 30th of every month anymore. Shout out to Motor Trend. But
I do feel like your name kind of dooms you. Like when you get named as a baby, it kind of dooms you for life.
Yeah.
Whether that's good or not, I, as someone named Joe, I do feel like I'm always fighting the average.
Right. Well, Joe's going to like blend right in.
Yeah.
So it's not a setback, though.
It's not a setback, but like, you know, I'm never going to be, there's sloppy Joe, there's average Joe.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. Yeah.
So I do feel like I'm sloppy sometimes, but most of the time I'm average.
Right.
And I feel like if I was named like Victor or something, you know, maybe I would have won more football games or.
You know what? That's possible. It's possible.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Let's reset and talk about what the future holds for your shop, for your YouTube channel. I told you I was going to talk about this Merc in the background. You showed me a little bit beforehand, but this is a very special Mercury. And you've done a lot of cool stuff to us. Is this your baby right now?
Actually, so me and Mark, my buddy, I always mention my buddy Mark. Me and my guy Mark. So Mark Matthew, Gas Rats Customs on social media. Me and him have been buddies for a long time. He's the guy that kind of helps me put together my videos and stuff. And he's not a media guy at all. I mean, he has enough time to sit down and figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Whereas I'll just look at something. I do everything on my phone. I have badass Apple computer, 15-inch with all the touch. Yeah, I've opened that thing twice. I looked at it, it's just, I don't even see iMovie on here. You know, it makes zero sense to me. So I shoot stuff, I upload it, and he takes care of it. So, I mean, if you like my videos or you don't like them, shout out to Mark. But anyway, me and him went in halves on a 53 Merc, and it's a very simple story that's been told a million times where I want to say we were on Facebook Marketplace. He had just sold off one of his old hot rods, which was the Meaty Meteor, and had a couple of bucks and didn't have any hot rods to. He has a supercharged long bed truck, which is cool.
Yeah.
But he kind of wanted a little muscle car.
Sure.
I go, well, dude, I'm in the muscle car business. Let's go find you a ratty piece of crap and we'll throw an LS in it and get you driving. And Facebook Marketplace, there was a 53 Merc for $7,500. We get there, it's on like 3.5 flats. Somebody had lowered it and then lowered the lowering.
Oh, God.
lowering blocks stacked in the back, and then front springs heated to the point that didn't exist.
Oh, no.
It was just cool yard art when we got there. It just looked cool in the driveway. You couldn't had to drag it up the trailer.
So this guy is smoking something if he wants $7,500.
Well, I mean, if it was a clean-ass Merc, it would be worth it. The parts on it are worth it. The bumpers are worth a ton of money. All the parts are very rare. And so I go, you know what? This is. We open the hood, and the rats, the carb's missing, the exhaust is missing, the motor's just covered in rust and rat poo. It was a science project. The inside was filthy. You know, we don't need a project. This project's too far out. So we told the guy. I knew something was up. We pulled up to Chatsworth, middle of nowhere. Well, very far from where we are now. Sure. We pulled up. The guy goes, oh, hey, Lucky. I was like, oh, shit. He watches the show.
Uh-oh.
So I was just like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. Thanks for watching. And we look at the car. I was like, I don't want to be a dick. I don't want to lowball him.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, dude, more project than we're looking for, but thanks for your time. Whoa. Give me $4,000.
He's arguing just, with himself.
Yeah, did this guy just talk himself down? Couldn't say anything. I go, well, and I was thinking, man, for $4,000, I could just tow this back to the shop and just sell it for $5,000. You know, like, I'm just like, man, well, you know what? We're going to go have some lunch and we'll get back to you. So then we go to leave. And I was just like, we go to McDonald's. And like, I don't know if you've done it before. If you're out to buy something, damn it, I'm buying something.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you mean you left for looking for a hot rod and you came back with ATCs and an electric bicycle, you know? We got something. So we're at McDonald's having some gourmet food, some of the local cuisine, and both surfing through our phone, like, who's going to find something stupid-ass to buy first? And then I was like, dude, let's just head back. Truck and trailer, we're ready. Uh-huh. Fist full of hundreds, truck and a trailer, we're good to go. We're driving back. I'm like, dude, call that guy off from $3,500. For $3,500, we can drag it back, pressure wash it, and get our money back easy.
Yeah.
And he called in and told him $3,300. And the guy's all, come get it.
Oh, damn.
I was like, oh, this guy lowball himself? All right. So we went back. He's a nice guy, nicest guy ever. We get there, and he was happy to push that piece of crap up on there. And we're thinking, all right, cool. We can just pull this motor out, throw a motor in, pressure wash it. And I look, and whoever built the car, which wasn't this dude. This guy had bought it from somebody. Whoever built the car built the entire thing with acetylene torch, no MIG welders.
Oh, God.
It was old. He said it was a biker gang or club vehicle or something. So lots of cool stuff on it, but then lots of very, you know, I know a guy who can fix
questionable
it.
Questionable stuff. Yeah.
So the frame was great. It's got an El Camino frame that was grafted onto the original frame. Then I look at the steering, and when you turn the wheel, it goes clunk, clunk, clunk. Steering's not safe. Brakes are sketchy. And then I look at the frame, and it looks like it's got like diamond plate over where they put the new frame and the old frame.
That's no good.
I get it on the lift, and there's nothing on the bottom. You can see where they had tack sawed the frames apart.
It was just diamond plate?
It looked like it was just built for looks. And then I start looking at the diamond plate. I'm like, oh, you ever looked at the back of a pickup truck, and they got the camper bumpers?
Yeah.
It was cut up camper bumpers.
Oh, my God.
They had just cut the top off of camper bumpers and bent it and clamped it and gas welded it.
So
I was like, somebody's going to die with this car. So this video of me cutting the frame and just letting it fall on the ground and just starting over.
Oh my God.
And so I was going to help him by throwing a motor in, and we ended up, I'll show you some pictures. There's full four link in the back, got a quick performance 9-inch, got a Gearstar transmission.
The rear end of this thing is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you guys to see this. And if you're on audio, sorry, but you got to go watch the video because it's so cool.
Yeah. It is a sick car. So the paint's original. I fixed some rust in the roof. And we pull out this, there were some holes in the floor under the gas pedal, which ended up being just patching the entire floor from the backseat to the front, the entire trunk, the front suspension. It's all QA1. It's got, we haven't really released what motor's in there yet, but it's got something that looks a lot like an FE motor in it. It looks a lot like a nice Ford motor.
It's
for sure.
The motor is worth checking out.
Yeah.
You got to go subscribe to his channel because it's so cool.
Quite a surprise. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and it's awesome. Fires up. It screams. It's cool. We just got the thing aligned and dialed in. We're gonna lower it a little bit more to get that. You know, people like, that thing looks kind of low.
I love the stance right now though.
Yeah, it's on like NASCAR rims and tires.
Sure.
And
yeah,
it's pretty awesome. So
really cool.
I think we're gonna get a couple crates of like mason jars and put them in the back with water, so it looks like we're running moonshine.
Sure,
that's what it looks like. It looks like some old moonshiner from back in the day.
It'd be cool to. I mean, it would be insane, but. To make a gas tank look like a bunch of jars.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of hard. Well, that is your main project right now, or
I actually just finished. I have a 2-door station wagon, so 1964 and 65, they made a Chevelle Malibu or Chevelle station wagon.
Yeah,
that was 2 doors. They made a million 4 doors, but they made very limited, like 2,700 2 doors. And I looked forever to find one. It was sort of my car I wanted. That was, you know, the one I'll never see. And one of my buddies years ago found one out in Golden Valley, just the back half of the car on a trailer behind a chain link fence in the desert with a for sale sign that had melted because it's Arizona. You know,
like, it had been for sale.
He
that got
the
long.
Number. He bought it. And then it had a bunch of parts with it and all the rare stuff. But once again, no motor, no transmission. So he sold it to me. After some negotiating back and forth. And I then took the body off. It's painted butternut yellow, which is a cool color, in my opinion. So the license plate says butternuts. And then it has a 6-liter in it, all aluminum with AFR heads. Gearstar 4L65E, I believe. Quick performance 9-inch. RideTech suspension front to back. Wilwood brakes front to back. All the frame reinforcements, frames boxed and painted and very nice with big sway bars. And then custom built Rock Valley tank, 34-gallon fuel tank in the back. And then I put a turbocharger behind the rear end, but in front of the gas tank. Just one giant turbo in the back.
Wow.
And I plumbed it up. So you look underneath the car, you see two exhausts, no mufflers.
Yeah.
Don't need them. No intercooler. Don't need them. So it's a very simple system. So,
wow.
My other buddy, Turbo Mark, it's a different Mark. He very into exhaust velocity and just, he's a very, and super gifted welder. He came by in a couple of days and, built a 8-into-1 exhaust system, 2¼-inch all the way to the back where it slowly comes up to 3-inch V band into the turbo.
It's like a trumpet.
Exactly.
I bet that thing sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome. And then out of that, it's a 2.5. It's 2.5 into the other side. It goes all the way forward, comes through the floor under the driver's seat, lays next to the trans tunnel, creeps under the dashboard, and then goes through the firewall and then charges the top of the motor.
What?
And then I'm going to put a fake air cleaner that just bolts to the charge hat. So we look in the engine compartment. There's no waste. There's no turbos
or
intercoolers. There's just a little LS motor. And a fake air cleaner. It's going to look awesome. We've already driven it. I've had my tuner Tom.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of stuff here that makes all kinds of noise and plenty of horsepower. He's like, this is your fastest car. He goes, the front end feels super light at high RPM. And
wow.
The thing launches. I launch at this crosswalk. And by the time I get to that crosswalk, it is just a friggin' rocket. It's hilarious.
What do you reckon it makes?
Oh, I don't know. It makes double what it does without the crank. So it's putting almost I'm like 12 or 13 pounds into it. I haven't turned it up all the way.
Wow.
But I'm going to E85 it just so I can turn it up more.
Damn. So that is a real monster.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you reach in and turn the key, it fires up.
That's awesome. I love the bumper sticker too, slow AF.
Yeah, yeah. If you look really close, it says slow and fun. Because kids don't want to wear a hat to say slow AF.
No. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, there's another sticker on there, too, that says, this vehicle is equipped with a fair amount of irresponsible goodness. And the wheels may burst into smoke at any time without warning.
That's very fun. Oh, that's that little warning on the bumper right there?
Yeah. I told him to make it look like carb sticker.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot of really cool shit in here, Lucky.
You know what? That is what... Yeah, that's my goal right there.
It's
to be surrounded by a bunch of cool shit.
And I think you've achieved your life goal. And then, you know, like for a lot of people watching and listening too, you're a good, you know, North Star to follow in your footsteps.
But yeah, double check some of those facts.
Thank you so much for joining us on Talk Talk Nation. This has been such a blast for me. I hope that we can continue to work together in the future
and do some
projects and stuff. Someone's at the door right now, so we're going to go.
That works out.
Perfect timing. Check us out. Check out Lucky's Garage Show on YouTube. Subscribe, like, follow all his videos. If you don't already, follow Donut Podcasts and subscribe to us. We come out with a Talk Talk Nation every 2 weeks. And in between, Jimmy Eats Cars, which if you haven't seen already, it's an insane show. You got to check it out. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.